Question time. Members' questions. So we now consider members' questions. We only have 20 minutes.
20 minutes
left before the guillotine. So please make sure your questions, supplementary questions, are questions. So, Councillor Evelyn Okoto, do you have a supplemental question?
Yes, I do. Apologies. Can the leader provide an update on the work the council is doing in partnership with London Southwark Bank University to deliver more apprenticeships and vocational training for residents of the borough?
I want to thank Councillor Okoto for her supplemental question. Yeah, I'm very pleased that yesterday at Cabinet we agreed a £5 million investment into the Passmore Centre at London South Bank University, which is going to be a partnership delivering apprenticeships, higher level apprenticeships and a degree level apprenticeships for residents of our borough and beyond. And with targets over the next couple of years rising to 500 Southwark resident apprentices passing through the Passmore Centre, I genuinely believe that that is a significant contribution to improving the lot of our residents and improving their vocational qualifications. We're already doing incredibly well. I can't say exactly the number today. I feel optimistic, but I'm not allowed to say it. But I'm sure that Councillor Johnson City will say more in due course. But, you know, apprenticeships really are at the heart of what we want to see delivered. And I think with the apprenticeship levy coming in by the government and the opportunities that that creates, that we might well get to a position over the next couple of years where we begin to see again parity of esteem in respect of those vocational qualifications, particularly those which lead to degree level qualifications, because you're not putting a choice in front of young people and their families at 16 or 18 as to whether they go to university or not and choose a vocational route. You can achieve both those high qualifications which we will need as a society through an apprenticeship route.
Councillor Al-Samrai, do you have a supplementary question?
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. Yes, I do, and thank you to the Leader for his answer. I suppose I just wonder whether there will be a maximum. At what point does it become actually better value for money to listen to the Secretary of State and leaseholders as opposed to keep fighting legal battles?
Well, it's pretty fundamental that we do challenge this decision, because behind it lies the whole future of the regeneration of the Aylesbury estate. And I'm not going to walk away from the commitments that administrations of both Lib Dem and Labour colour have committed to, and providing new homes, quality homes, to the residents and people who currently live in that area. I am optimistic that we may find a solution without having to go through the need for full judicial review proceedings. As I say, this is fundamental. Effectively, if we say we accept this and we'll do no more in terms of challenging it, that really does threaten the whole Aylesbury regeneration. And I don't believe that any member in this chamber, if you thought about it for a moment, would subscribe to that. We have to see this regeneration happen. It's important for the lives of the residents of that part of our borough. And we on this side, as I say, take pride in wanting to deliver the very best quality housing for every resident. We will not walk away from our responsibilities. And I hope, I sincerely hope, the Lib Dems don't try and make some cheap political points on the back of this, because that would be most unbecoming and it would undermine the cross-party approach that we've taken to this issue over the past 10 or 15 years.
Councillor Mitchell, do you have a supplemental?
Indeed, Madam Mayor, thank you, and may I thank the Leader for his earlier statement. May I take this opportunity to reiterate the Conservative Group's full support for the campaign to ensure no school in Southwark loses out as a result of the implementation of the fairer funding formula. Whilst the leader may have been getting a negative vibe from Nick Gibb, watching PMQs, I got the distinct impression that the Prime Minister is in listening mode. So is the leader aware that while the consultation is closing today, we shall continue as a Conservative group to work to ensure Southwark schools benefit from the changes to the formula when it is finally announced?
I want to thank Councillor Mitchell for that question, which really, I suppose, underlines the cross-party commitment to putting Southwark schools and our pupils really at the forefront of this argument. And I'm really heartened by the support that he and Councillor Lyons gave when they came to the public meeting that was held at Dulwich Hamlet School the other day. It really is important that we level up in this case. So there's no reason or justification to take away resources from Southwark schools, which have done so brilliantly. And I know that you both will share my concerns. The corrosive effect that it may have on our schools if we do begin to take any resources away from them when they've worked so hard to get to where they are now. We all value the brilliant work that our head teachers and teachers, parents, governors and pupils put in. So I'm very grateful for his support, and I'm very grateful that he and Councillor Lyons will carry on making the case for fair funding for Southwark.
Councillor Rose, do you have a supplemental?
I do, Madam Mayor, thank you. At the recent Excellent Scrutiny in a Day schools event chaired by Councillor Alley, there were representatives of our schools, universities, business groups and employers, and they were all absolutely resolute in their support for strengthening our post-16 outcomes in Southwark. There was deep concern at the prospect of less funding for Southwark schools, schools that are aiming to be world-class rather than settling to be just what Gloucestershire lacks. How will the leader and the wider council work with our local economic partners to make the case for fair-funded schools, which are key to skills in London, and a skilled London is critical to the UK's economic future?
I want to thank Councillor Rose for her supplemental question. I want to thank her for her work, not just on this campaign, but on her history on campaigning for schools and new schools in our borough for many years now. She's been a beacon on that issue. What I would say to her, I suppose the answer I gave to Councillor Okoto a minute ago kind of exemplifies the issue here and where we are working with our partners to try and make the case, because it was absolutely clear from Professor Dave Phoenix, the Vice-Chancellor of London South Bank, yesterday when he came to speak to us. It's absolutely critical. Something like the Passmore Centre will only work if our schools are producing pupils with the right skills to go on into those vocational opportunities, as well as the higher degree level opportunities that are being created. We have such a great record in Southwark. We have gone such a long way in terms of raising aspirations, raising achievement amongst our secondary school pupils and then on into university and beyond, and on into vocational training and beyond, that we will carry on working with the likes of London South Bank University, the Business Forum and other employers around the borough to send out the message that it really is vital that our school produce the pupils who can take advantage of the jobs and opportunities that we've been working so hard to create in the borough. You know, we wouldn't have seen the record increase in employment across our borough unless our residents were equipped for those jobs. We need to see more of them into work. But they can only do it with the educational achievement and investment that is going on at this current time. So I do, as I've said a number of times this evening, I urge everyone to carry on making the case for the government to invest in our schools and give fair funding for our schools.
Councillor Johnson, do you have a supplemental?
I do, Madam Mayor. I'd like to thank the leader for his answer. I'm concerned to see such low numbers of affordable homes, 26%, 10%, 24%. But I'm also extremely concerned to see in South Gardens all the homes, 100%, were sold to overseas owners. This is a lend-lease development. It's Elephant Park. It's a flagship scheme. This is in the data from Transparency International. And you've often made great claims about your excellent relationship with Lendlease. Yet at Housing Scrutiny, we were told by Lendlease that no homes at Elephant will be sold overseas. So what will you do to investigate this? And what pressure will you put on Lendlease to ensure that all homes at Elephant and Park are sold to UK residents?
I want to thank Councillor Johnson for his question. I mean, we have been putting real pressure on Lendlease over the last 18 months or so, if not longer, on this very issue, because we see the very real problems of, if you're going to buy off plan, effectively, how are you going to afford to do that unless you have a load of money behind you and you don't need anywhere to live for the time being, because you're going to have to pay instalments in order to buy off plan. And that's the problem. It's the problem of our current housing economics, effectively, that people have to stump up percentages at different stages of the build process before, you know, years ahead of actually moving in. And so we have talked to Lendlease about this. We've talked to them about what can they do in terms of reducing deposits required by local people in order to buy into the scheme. And what you might have seen recently, certainly in Southwark News and elsewhere, advertised, is that Help to Buy is really being pushed very strongly now down at Elephant Park, with that 5% deposit being all that is required. Because we really do need to demonstrate, you're absolutely right, to local people that these are homes that are being built, we hope, for them for the future. So Help to Buy is one response. We will carry on pressing them, though, because I think there is more that still that can be done. But fundamentally, there's a weakness in the housing economy in our country, which is reliant on investment in order to build, and that investment, as I say, too often comes from overseas. It won't often be overseas people who end up living in these homes. They'll be privately rented or they'll be sold on at some time around completion, either for a profit or not for a profit for those initial investors, but that's the reality. And I've made this case many times before in Council Assembly, but really the government has to put much more money if it's serious about solving our housing crisis. We're building 20,000 homes a year in London. That's pathetic. It's woeful. We need to build 50, 60, 70,000 homes a year in London if we're going to provide the homes that we need and if we're going to overcome some of these issues. We only do that if you empower the public sector to build seriously. If you go back to 1969-70, 170,000 homes a year being built by councils across our country. Last year, 1,400 being built by councils. And housing associations are not making up that gap, that difference. So there's a fundamental problem in the housing economy, but we'll carry on absolutely making the case to Lendlease. They're not getting, you know, away with this. We are telling them you need to do more in order to make these homes available for local people and for local people to be able to buy off plan.
Councillor Lyons, do you have a supplement?
Yes, please. Thank you very much, Nida, for your answer regarding the pressure and adding your weight to pressure on TfL to try and get school coaches off the roads of Dulwich, which are polluting and dangerous for cyclists and pedestrians. My only supplementary question would be, thank you for adding your weight to it, would be, is there any sense of how fast we might make this happen? Because I remember when newly elected, I went for a cup of tea with a local resident, you know, this was what, nearly 3 years ago, she said if you can deliver one thing, and now we're up to the nearly 3 year point, and you know, we're still, seems to be fighting now a battle with TfL rather than anybody else.
Well, obviously I'm very anxious to help Councillor Lyons deliver on her pledge to the people of Dulwich. I'll see what more we can do. Councillor Wingfield's hearing the answer I'm giving to bring this up the priority list, and when that's writing to Val Shawcross or someone else at TfL, we will do that as a result of your question this evening.
Councillor Hartley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and my thanks to the Leader for this response. It's great that we have finally received permission for faculty and that the much-needed local burial plots will be able to go ahead with these projects. I know that local people, even those who aren't 100% signed up to some of our plans on these proposals, greatly value the stakeholder process that exists around them. And although the answers that they receive aren't always the ones that they want, they are at least in a situation to get those detailed questions and answers, and that helps with a project of this kind. Could the Leader confirm that that stakeholder process will continue throughout these processes?
I want to thank Councillor Hartley for his supplemental question. Absolutely. Councillor Wingfield is very anxious that the stakeholder group continues, that there is local involvement in the process going forward. I can't say it's been a road without rocks. Can I? No, I don't think so. But as I say, Councillor Wingfield is looking forward to carrying that forward, and the stakeholder group will continue to play a part as we provide that valuable burial space for the residents of our borough.
Very quickly, Councillor Oxon. Fine. Okay. Councillor Lamb, you have 17 seconds. Councillor McCallum, 11 seconds.
In fact, I just wanted to say that I think the leader's answer, written answer, while being an answer to something, doesn't seem to be the answer to the question I asked. So I was hoping he might have a second go, but clearly there's now no time. No, what a lucky bastard he is.
The time for questions to the leader has ended. So now we'll have another consider questions from community councils. So Councillor Bill Williams.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to thank the Cabinet Member for a full answer. However, you state in your response that thousands of pounds worth of fines have been issued to fly tippers in the borough, yet recent press articles stated we had issued no fines whatsoever. And then a DEFRA database also states no fines were issued by Southwark during 2015-16. Explain.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to thank Councillor Williams for his very apposite supplemental question on this matter. He is quite correct to say that there were press articles, but they were based on a flawed response to a Freedom of Information request. The question asked how many fines at the recently introduced rate of £400 had we issued. We answered zero because we haven't actually implemented the new £400 limit, and we're doing so on the 1st of April. So that was a true response. But we didn't, at the same time, explain that we were continuing to use the existing powers where we've issued over 200 fixed penalty notices at the current rate of £80 limit.
Councillor Amsterdam, I've been told that.
Wait, I'm coming to that, Councillor. On the question of the DEFRA database, it was a staff error, and I apologise for that. The database is complex, and the wording of some of the cells that needed completing are confusing. Rather than entering some data in error, no data was entered at all, hence the published figures. We have now assigned a single experienced officer to the matter to ensure accurate data is uploaded, rather than being dependent on a series of officers from different services and departments to bring all that information together.
Very wise.
In summary, it is not true to say we haven't issued any fines. As explained previously, £9,500 of fixed penalty notices and £37,500 of court fines in the last 12 months has been handed down to fly tippers in our borough. And with the environmental enforcement team growing stronger next year, we hope these figures will increase. And as Councillor Hargrove just referred to, the Lib Dem group has been written to acquaint them with the correct information, but unfortunately they continue to repeat the incorrect facts, both in their literature and press statements.
Thank you.
The director,
thank you.
The director has already sent them a letter.
Okay. The guillotine is going to fall at 10:03, so we have to be quick with our with Councillor Kerslake.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to thank the...
Thank you.
I'd like to thank the Cabinet Member for her response. It seems appropriate to be finishing with questions on schools funding, given the concerns that we heard from the leaders at the beginning of the meeting and from other members. That said, the Cabinet Member does give us some comfort on oversubscribed schools and that they hopefully won't be affected by these cuts. I would like to ask a supplemental. So the council has a very ambitious schools expansion programme. Keyworth Primary School in my own ward is being expanded to 3-4 entry. Does the Cabinet Member have concerns about the pressures that these funding cuts will have on that, on those expansion programmes? And indeed, will they, you know, if that keeps going ahead, are we still going to have class sizes that are too big? Yeah, just to clarify, we've interpreted oversubscription not necessarily meaning the schools go in excess of their PAN, their capacity, but rather that that means that the school has to use their oversubscription criteria to offer places. And I think if it gives you any comfort in terms of being over PAN, none of the primary schools in your community council are over that, and I think maybe only one of your secondary schools is. So that is beyond their published admissions numbers, and that would be across all years. And I do stress that I think the challenge is more in terms of the funding formula would be for those schools that are undersubscribed. The funding follows the pupil, so actually I think it would be those, and that's the situation now, it would be the situation with the new formula, and that would mean I think it would be more likely to be undersubscribed schools. And I think the picture at Keyworth is that we are confident that those places are much needed, and there is no reason to doubt that schemes like Keyworth will be kind of as well funded as they are going to be under whatever formula we end up with from the government in terms of pupil numbers, if that is adds some reassurance.
Actually, we do have time for one more. Councillor Dennis.
Madam Mayor, so my supplemental, it was great to read about the impact of the free swim and gym policy and how that's breaking down barriers to participation for our residents. Could the Cabinet Member give a bit more detail about the likely health benefits, both the physical health and mental health benefits of the free swim and gym programme to our residents?
Yeah, I thank Councillor Dennis for her follow-up question. Access to sport and activities enables people to become more healthy, giving them greater independence over their lives. The potential relationship between mental health and physical health is becoming increasingly more apparent. Free swim and gym has been a huge success, and whilst we don't have figures for mental health attendance, when we last take them, we do have attendance figures for this people 60+. Fully demonstrating our success as an age-friendly borough. 60,002 attendances by people by 60 plus, and that is 67% over our target.